life. You are healing. You are deliverance. You are greater than any obstacle that we face. You are greater than any sorrow or trauma that we face in our life. You are greater than any discouragement that we face. You are greater than any circumstance, than any loss in our lives. You are greater. And we call upon your name, Jesus. Just as the apostles did, just as the early church did when they would say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, there is power. Power to live a Christian life. Power to overcome our addictions. Power to be set free from our hurts and shame. Power to move on through trials in our life. Power to move on through the things, God, that we leave behind and we strain towards what is ahead. Lord, knowing that you are the author and the finisher of our faith. Oh God, we thank you. We thank you, Jesus, for sacrificing yourself for us in our place so that we can shout the name Jesus today. Thank you for your grace that you've generously poured out on each and every one of our lives. And God, I pray this morning for a fresh understanding, a fresh baptism of your mercy and grace. God, that we would see once again, that you'd capture our hearts once again of your great patience in each and every one of our lives today. Oh Lord, I pray that you'd move my words aside and our thoughts aside and our opinions aside and only let your true word come to our lives. God, we thank you that we have the privilege of having your word. That you speak directly through us and to us by your holy scriptures. Oh God, we honor you and reverence you. That we honor your word today. And we ask, Lord, that you would move in our hearts, the children alike, this morning as we dive into your word. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Glory to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Children are dismissed. You know that... I don't know, it was that several weeks ago I heard that song and I was like, I gotta go and ask if they would sing this song and learn the song and then come back and they've already learned it. It's a powerful song and it's a song that we need to take by faith as we sing each line, each phrase, as we speak the name of Jesus at work in each and every one of our lives. I want to talk about the fruit of the Spirit and patience. And I'll just say today, you might get offended at this sermon because I already got offended at it myself. And I'm still offended at it because patience is one of the most difficult things to work in our lives. But it has to come about by the work of the Spirit in each of our lives. So I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1. And if you don't have Bibles, there's Bibles in front of you underneath the chairs. It's on page 991 in the pew Bibles or the chair Bibles. And we're going to be talking about patience part two. Now last week we learned that about God's patience for us and that his patience is not in conflict with his judgment. For those who say, why hasn't God come and struck those people dead? Why hasn't God come back? Why isn't he bringing everything where God will come? Jesus will fulfill his promise. He will return. So his patience is not in conflict with his judgment. His patience works outside the realm of time. We have problems because we're inside time. But if we would check in and tap into the things that are above and tap into that eternal realm that God is in, we might learn patience. Patience is for the full salvation of his beloved children. And aren't you grateful for that? That he is never done working with us with all of our spots, with all of our blemishes, with all the things that are in our life. He is patient to continue to work. And then God is patient for the spiritual growth of his children. He's working daily in my life, in your life. And brothers and sisters, we should be growing. We should be taking steps of change as the work of Jesus Christ becomes real in each and every one of our lives. So we learned about the patience of God. So the more we understand and relish how patient God is with us, the more we will be able to exercise it towards others. And So we learn in 1 Peter 3 about those aspects of God's patience. And this week we will focus on the endurance or the perseverance part of patience when we encounter trials and perhaps even difficult people. When we encounter difficulty, tragedies, troubles, traumas, harms in our life, our tendency is to respond with fight or flight. It's a common word that these people in the psychological realm have come up with, but God already came up with it already in His Word. And these are acts of the flesh, is that we either react to difficult situations in anger and we fight in our sinful flesh, or we run in fear or anxiety in our sinful flesh. Either way, it is not the way of patience. So when we encounter, and you will encounter trials, we will encounter difficult circumstances. We will encounter gut-wrenching things where we think things in our mind that you would not want to put up on the screen here about what's happening in our lives. Some of us in here are fighters. We're going to stay in anger and we'll fight till we get our way, or we make ourselves feel better, or we're going to run in fear, or we're going to just freeze up in fear when we deal with difficult things in our life. You see, God's patience with us is enduring. So by the power of the Spirit, listen very carefully to this, brothers and sisters, we have to learn to act in a difficult situation rather than react. We need to learn to act rather than react. That's patience working itself out in our lives. You might say fight or flight, neither. I'm going to have the flail my arms, jump up and down, screaming response. Is there anybody in here like that? Would care to say? You know, some of us have been that way at any moment. Now remember, our definition of patience is endurance. It's constancy from Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is patience, steadfastness, perseverance, forbearance, and long-suffering and slowness to avenge wrongs. Now, before we launch into our Timothy passage, I want to get some wisdom from Proverbs. Because he says in these verses, and these are powerful verses, and I encourage you to write them down, or if you don't already know them, but Proverbs 16:32 says, whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, or soldiers in an army, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Now imagine a big city like New York City, and or maybe you just even take yourself back to Bible times when we have that picture of a fortress with walls around a city. Those that are able to rule their spirit when difficult situations come is greater than one who rules and takes over a whole city. Now that's a powerful verse. But remember, when we come to the New Testament, this power rests in the Holy Spirit. We don't take the city on our own. Take the city by the Spirit of God. We rule over our unruly emotions by the power of the Spirit. Proverbs 17 verses 27 to 28, he says, whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is the man of understanding. Now, if this were in the 70s and 80s, we might misunderstand what a cool spirit is, right? Cool, you all. That means, as the word for anger means burning hot. The opposite of that is someone who is calm, cool, and we have a phrase for that in collective, right? He says, a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Now, I want that, don't you? He says, even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise when he closes his lips. He's deemed intelligent. Proverbs 19:11. Good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is to his glory. And it is his glory to overlook an offense. Remember, several weeks ago I talked about offenses are taken but not given. Here's the scripture that says that. It is our glory to overlook offense in our lives. Good sense makes us slow to get revenge when we encounter trials and difficulties, the stuff of which patience is made of. Proverbs 25:28, a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. And so it's a very vulnerable situation there in this instance. So let's go to Peter and talk about what are the marks of those that endure patience. We're going to learn from the Word of God and really from our testimony of the gospel and God's work of salvation in our lives. I want to begin in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 this morning, and read with me, please, and pay attention to what this says, and we're going to break this down to find out the marks of those that endure in patience, that develop this sort of patience that we all want in our lives. I thank Him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because He judged me faithful, appointing me to His service, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, an insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display His perfect patience as an example to those who are to believe in Him for eternal life, to the King of all ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So let's break this down this morning. Number one, those that endure in patience live in gratitude to the source of their strength and calling. Did you notice in verse 12, he says, I'm going to begin by thanksgiving because God has given me strength. And I want to encourage you, if you want patience in your life, begin to ask God to give you strength. That word is an interesting word where it has two words. It's thanks, echo, and thanks, which is charis, which is we get our word grace from. But it means to take hold of, or in other words, to hold oneself or find oneself so-and-so or in such a condition. So what was he saying? I am in the condition of having strength from God, and I'm thankful for it. I'm honoring God for it, because I cannot have this patience on my own. I cannot make it on my own. And that word strength means dunamis or dynamite power. When we talk about what they shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes on them in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, is to render strong or to be enabled or inwardly strengthened by God. He is our source of strength. And so, are we going to run, fight or flight? Are we going to try to fight this thing out on our own? Or are we going to go to the Lord and say, God, I need your supernatural strength? He's more than happy to give it. He promises it to us. It is already inside of us because the Holy Spirit dwells within us. He's waiting for us to surrender. And notice what he says. He says, because he judged me faithful. That's, I think, another part of a person that's grateful and relies on God for their strength is that they do not care what other people's opinion is of them. They only care about what God's opinion is. And so if you were to endure in patience, it's going to take the stuff of strength where we say, I'm not going to worry about what anybody else thinks, but God is my judge. He is the one, and they know their calling, and that gets to the third part, is that he says, I know he's appointed me to his service. In other words, he put me into place. He fixed my life. He established me when I came to Jesus Christ. And so those that endure in patience live in gratitude to their source of strength and calling. Number two, those that endure in patience remember their own experience of God's mercy. Notice what he says next. Through verse 13, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and an insolent opponent, but I received mercy. Here's where we really like the buts in the Bible. I was, but. What is a blasphemer? A blasphemer is someone who speaks evil, slanderous, reproachful, railing, abusive things. And that is literally what comes out when we don't have patience, right? In any given bad circumstance. But Paul is saying, this is my old life. This is the what I used to be. And he was to an extreme. He was, remember, going around and killing every Christian he could find. He thought it was his God-given duty to do so. But I want you to notice the word when he says insolent opponent. That's someone who is uplifted with pride and heaps insulting language upon others and does them shameful acts of wrong or injures them. That's the place where Paul was. Puffing himself up in pride. I'm the Pharisee of all Pharisees. I'm going to kill all these Christians. I'm going to do God a favor here. And, you know, we're not that far off of him. Even for those of us that are born again, when somebody cuts us off in the road, we all of a sudden become an insolent opponent, right? Some of you are looking at each other. We floor the gas pedal. I'm going to get around them and I'm going to show them and then I'm going to slow down in front of them like they did me, or I'm going to cut them off like they cut. We do that. We're Christians, but we do that, right? Paul says, I was an insolent opponent. I was lifted up in pride. But he says, but I've received the mercy of God. Someone who has patience in their life is constantly aware that they were laying on the side of the road dead, like the Good Samaritan came to help, and God showed mercy to me. And that word mercy is to help one that's afflicted. Are you afflicted by your sin? Are you seeking aid in your life? That's what mercy is for. To bring help to the wretched. Oh, what a wretched man I am. Show kindness, assistance, to have compassion. Folks, this is one of the secret keys to developing patience, is to revel in the mercy that God has showed you. How many times have you just sat back and say, wow, God should have wiped me out here. God should have judged me here. He should have let me die here. He should have sent me hell here. But he didn't, because he showed me mercy. People that have patience in their life are fully aware and awakened to the mercy of God that has been invading their lives. But they're also aware of their own past ignorance and belief. You know, and this can be helpful when we're dealing with problem people or difficult people in our families or wherever we're at, is we know that they do these things out of ignorance. So, first of all, it means they don't know or they don't understand, and it literally means to err or sin through a mistake, to be wrong. How many in here have been wronged? How many in here have wronged others? Should be the same thing. So here's the point that he's trying to make. People that have patience for those that do horrible things. And I'm not justifying the horror that people do, because God will judge. God will handle these situations. We wonder, why, where is justice on the earth when people get away with all kinds of garbage and sin and shameful, gross, disgusting stuff? Remember, I was ignorant too. And not only that, he says, on my unbelief. In other words, I had a need for faith. I had weak faith. They're aware of their own past ignorance and unbelief. Now can you see why I'm offended? Because when people do things that I don't think is right, I suddenly forget how ignorant I once was. So, we have to be people that breathe and live God's mercy. We have to be people that rehearse God's acts of mercy in our own lives over and over and over. Even if it gets up every morning when we get up and we say, God, thank you for saving a wretched sinner such as I. Thank you for your mercy. Those in enduring patience remember their experience of God's mercy. Paul did that. And man, Paul has every reason to be down and discouraged because of all the people he murdered in the name of religion. Number three, those that endure in patience live in the overflow of faith and love in Jesus Christ. I like overflow, don't you? Now, some of us are skimpers more than others. You know, when I pack to go somewhere, I just want to make sure that I have everything. So I've learned to cut things out so because it's kind of a burden to carry big, heavy suitcases in and out of places or on a plane. But I do like overflow. I don't like when I sit down to a meal, and maybe you don't either, and there's just a few little portions and that's it, it's gone. I want to make sure that I can have seconds if I want to. You say, well, you look like it. Yeah, that's right. But we are people that love overflow more than we need. And notice what Paul says about here. He says, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The people that endure in patience live in the overflow of this faith. And what is this faith and grace? First of all, they experience and bask in God's undeserved favor that they know is for Him. It says in the Word, did you catch that there? The grace of our Lord overflowed for me. I want you to get up every day and say, God, your grace overflowed for me. And the more we bask ourselves, it's like getting in the fountain and stream after we've been walking through a desert. All of a sudden we see this wonderful waterfall and gurgling brook, and we just want to dive into that and cool off and be refreshed. He says this is the kind of stuff that brings patience in our life when we bask in the goodness and the grace of God. And so then he says they live in the overflow of faith, which is the faithfulness or the character of God who can be relied on. When it comes to storms in our life and difficulties in our life, God gives us faith in Jesus Christ, knowing that we can be sure that we are sure that we are sure that God is going to get us through this. We have that confidence to know, but not only that, the love, which is God's affection, overflowing from the cross of Jesus Christ in our life. It's like an overabundance. It's like we're literally swimming in it. So I want to encourage you to be people, and let's help each other with this, that swim in God's grace. Pretty soon, before you know that, the guy that cuts me off, if I'm swimming in God's grace, that's all I have around me to give to that guy. If my mind is fixed on it, that's all I have to dole out to those difficult circumstances that come about in my life. Do you realize that, folks, as Christians, we have one of the most powerful gospels in the world, that every other religion is dead? There is no other religion that offers grace or undeserved favor, that we don't have to do anything to earn heaven. It's free. Swim in it. It's not just for the time back in the day when you came to the altar, gave your life to Jesus, or sat at home, accepted you. It's for right now. Fresh grace from heaven. And number four, those that endure in patience remember that they are sinners that need to be saved by Jesus just like everyone else. Look what Paul says in verse 15. He says, this saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am foremost. Now here's where it gets really offensive to me, but it's true. First of all, someone who develops patience in their life as they fully trust and accept that Jesus Christ came to save them as sinners. Folks, if we're gospel-centered people, patience will begin to develop in our life. If we're focused on the cross, that is why we take communion, that we always come back to grace again. We get angry and all puffed up in pride, and we work through our life and say, God, I want to throw in the towel. I want to give up. I don't want to keep going. I'm tired of this mess. I'm tired of struggling. I'm tired of dealing with all these things in my life. But then we remember the gospel. Jesus Christ came to save sinners, of whom I am foremost. See, they maintain an attitude of being the foremost sinner, almost as if to say, I need God's mercy and grace more than anyone else. Imagine living our lives that way. I need it more than everyone else. I need it way more than my wife. I need it way more than all the elders and all of you in this church. I need God's grace and mercy more because I'm the foremost sinner. And what does that word foremost mean? It is first in rank, or the best sinner. Or in other words, robed in the first robe of sin, like the kingly robe of sin. I am chief, I'm principal in rank and quality. You want to talk about quality sin? The attitude of those that develop patience in their life realize that God has shown mercy and saved me, who is better at sinning than everyone else. Wouldn't that be an attitude adjustment in our daily life? I'm more cunning. I'm more slippery than anyone else, and I need God's grace more. Oh, if we can come to the fountain of grace. That word save means to keep safe, to rescue, and it literally means to restore to health. Those that endure with patience, remember that Jesus is the one that's restored me to health, and He can restore anyone to health. Being brought from death to life. It's an attitude adjustment I need. It's an attitude adjustment that you need. It is an attitude adjustment that will do well in our lives to produce God's fountain of grace. And folks, this gets even more important and better as we read on in verse 16. He says, okay, I'm the foremost of sinners. Starting to change my attitude a bit. But what is the reason why God showed me mercy? Have you ever thought about, God, why? Why didn't you just let me die? Why do I even exist with all the vile, putrid, filthy things that I've thought in my heart and my mind? Why me? Why show mercy to me? With all the ways that I've deceived myself, with my addictions and struggles, that I just keep on doing them, and it doesn't matter, and I just keep going in that direction. You showed mercy to me? Why? Oh, this is so beautiful. So that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display His perfect patience as an example to those who are to believe in Him for eternal life. They understand that mercy came so that Jesus Christ could display and show off His beautiful patience. So He says, you see Mike over here? He's a wretched sinner, and I showed him patience, and I can show you patience too. You see Tanya over here? The wretched sinner, I showed mercy to her so I can show mercy to you. We are trophies of God's mercy and grace. And they live in the reality that our lives are an example of the patience of Jesus Christ. Is your life an example of the patience of Jesus Christ? And they realize that Christ's patience working in their lives is the witness to those we're to believe in Jesus. Now, that word display means to point out, whether by argument or acts, we're God's pointing out to unbelievers of the beautiful mercy and grace. Now, if you wondered what that word is, he says God's perfect patience. That word perfect in the Greek means whole or altogether or the whole of his long suffering. The fullness of all of his long suffering. That's a lot of long suffering just in one life. Now think about the long suffering that he's shown to me and you and you and you and you and you and you and all the believers in the world past from the apostles' time until now, or even though, let's go even beyond that, to Abraham's time in the Old Testament that were people of faith and the mercy that God showed. He says this is the fullness of my mercy, all of it, not just a part of it. All of it will be displayed in your life so that people can come to Jesus Christ. And I want to point out that word patience as an example. That word example means an outline or a sketch or a brief summary or exposition, an example or a pattern. Now think about this. You are a summary of God's mercy. We walk around and we should be called the mercy people because we're summaries of God's mercy. When we go into the marketplace, when we drive down the road, when we go into work, when we go into school, people ought to look and say, there's an object of mercy. Oh, how great God's mercy is. If they can be helped, I can be helped too. I can be changed too. So I want to encourage us to pause and look upon the beautiful gospel of Jesus Christ and act rather than react in our lives. You see, this might seem a little bit different. It's like, well, you just have to try harder to be patient. No. You have to swim more in the grace and mercy of God to be patient. This is the very opposite of what we think. It seems counterproductive to what we think about normally. It's like, oh, I just got to try harder to be patient. You know, I'm just got to sit on my hands and not flip the person off when I'm driving down the road. No, I need to swim in God's mercy and grace and rejoice in it and revel in it. And pretty soon I will be showing more patience than I've ever shown in my life to everyone and to the trials that I face. But it's a work. It takes time. But what is the result of all this? He ends the passage with a hymn or a song of worship to God. He says, to the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. First of all, worship of our glorious God is the result of the patience of Jesus Christ in our life, that we will be objects of worship to God because we recognize that He is the King of the ages. When we say King of the ages, we're saying that it is unbroken, it's eternal. He is King of all the universe and the world. He is my Lord. He is leader of my life. And then He says He's immortal, which means uncorrupted, not liable to corruption or decay. He's invisible. We can't see Him. He's the only God, the only true God. I want to ask if our worship team would come today as we focus on Jesus Christ, the immortal, invisible, only God. Invisible. Remember that those that endure in patience live in gratitude to the source of their strength and calling. They remember and relish their own experience of God's mercy. They live in the overflow of faith and love in Jesus Christ. They remember, they're conscious at every moment that they're sinners that need to be saved like anyone else. And He takes it even a step further than that. I'm the foremost. I'm first, chief sinner. How can we take offenses if we're the chief of sinners and everybody else is less? Those that endure in patience understand that the reason that we're shown mercy was so that we could be trophies of the patience of Jesus Christ. I want you to say to yourself right now, I'm a trophy of God's mercy. You say that out loud, maybe? Yeah, let's try it again. One, two, three. I am a trophy of God's mercy. Swim in that, believe that. Get that truth in your heart. Ask the Holy Spirit to burn it in as we sing this song. And I'm sure it's a song that's appropriate with what we just looked at today.
Just stand with us. We'll sing, O Lord, my rock and my...